This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whoever is misguided cannot be guided except by Him. I bear witness and I testify that there is no God except for Allah. And I bear witness and I testify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his final prophet and his most perfect worshipper. As to what follows, know that the best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of all affairs is a change in the religion. For every change in the religion is misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the fire of hell. Dear Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us to be conscious of Him in the Quran when He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. When we look at the trajectory of the Western world that we live in, one of the most obvious changes in the last century is the decline of religion, and specifically the decline of Christianity as a viable force in the Western world. In fact, if you look at Europe in particular, the majority of Europeans do not believe in Christianity. They themselves might have been baptized in the 60s, 70s, 80s, but they are not even baptizing their children. Church attendance has plummeted, and the number of Muslims going to the masjid on Friday in England is more than the number of Anglicans going to church on Sunday in the same country. Think about that. Even though Muslims are 6% of England, the percentage of Muslims who go to the masjid is more, the quantity of Muslims who go to the masjid is more in England than the quantity of Christians and of Anglicans who go to the church. Europe is already lost in its rejection of Christianity. In this country of ours, America, still a majority of people claim to be Christian. But according to Pew surveys, according to every statistic study done, it is very likely within our own lifetimes, the young amongst us, by the time they are elderly, it is very likely that Christianity will no longer be a majority faith tradition, even in this country. The New York Times had an article recently in which it told us that the fastest growing religion is no religion. The fastest growing religion is no religion. There's a phenomenon, they call it the rise of the nuns. Not N-U-N, nun, like the Christian Catholic Church nun. No, nun, N-O-N-E, nun. The rise of the nuns, the rise of the unaffiliated. The millennial generation, our children's generation, the millennial generation, 35% of them say they don't believe in a higher power. They don't believe in organized religion. If this is the case now, what is going to happen when this millennial generation comes of age? And all of this is new. Barely 100 years ago, literally, barely 100 years ago, a person who publicly denied there is a God, a person who publicly said that he's an atheist, would face social ramifications. Not, they wouldn't go to jail, but social. Society would ostracize them. They might even lose their jobs. People would not like this person. How can you not believe in God? 100 years ago. So in 100 years, we see this radical shift where not only can you publicly deny God in our times, the fact of the matter is that it is socially acceptable. It is the norm. It is what scientists publicly do. And to mock religion is becoming more and more mainstream. Therefore, O Muslims, it is imperative that we speak frankly to our next generation. We explain to them the purpose of religion, the need of religion. Why do we need a deen, a religion? And today's brief khutbah will, as usual, there's only so much we can do, will begin the conversation. The goal is just to start the conversation. One 25-minute khutbah cannot answer everything. But we must be frank, and we must acknowledge that the society we live in, it is going to impact, and it is impacting our own youth. And we do have somewhat of a crisis beginning. Now, it is true, alhamdulillah, by and large, the Muslim community is faring much better than any other faith community. And our, what we call retention rate, our observance of Islam from father to son, from mother to daughter, is much higher than any other faith tradition. This is a fact. It is much higher than any other faith tradition. But still, it is not 100%. And we need to be frank and acknowledge, what do you expect? Our children are being raised in this land, in the Western society, so they will absorb some of the issues, some of the doubts, some of the criticisms. Therefore, in today's brief khutbah, I want to remind our young men and women, why do we need religion? What is the goal of religion? What is the necessity of religion? And we began answering this question by simply examining the world around us and acknowledging the perfection of how Allah created us. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created man in the best of all images and forms. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran the perfect symmetry with which every aspect of creation fits together. Allah challenges us, look at the creation. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Do you see a flaw? Do you see a break in the design? Allah challenges us again. Continue looking, continue examining. Your eyes will become tired, but the perfection of nature is going to astound you. So, our scholars mention, when it is self-evident that the creation is in such perfect harmony, and that all of our needs have been taken care of, everything we need, Allah has provided for us. We need air to breathe. We need a certain percentage of oxygen. We need water. We need food. We need shelter. We need companionship. Every single need that the human body has, the creation has provided for us by Allah's permission. We see this. And by the way, Ibn Taymiyyah mentions this. The more we need something, the easier access we have to it. I'll repeat. The more we need something, the easier we have access to it. What we need the most is air. Without air for 2-3 minutes, we will die. Air is free everywhere. Everybody has air. Then we need water. Water is everywhere in every society, every city. Then we need food. So the more we need something, the easier Allah has created access to that thing. Then our scholars say, if this observed physical reality, if this tangible truth, you can see it, it is self-evident, what you need has been provided for you. This is very clear. So the question arises, what is more important, the functioning of life or the cause of life? What is more important, sustaining life or questioning why is there life? And obviously the more important question is the question of the origins of life itself and of the meaning of life and of the value of life. And this is where religion comes in. The one who provided our physical needs, the one who took care of every single aspect of our existence, down to the most minute realities. The proportion of nitrogen and oxygen is absolutely perfect. The distance of the earth to the sun is precisely calculated. The alternation of the night and the day and the moon is something that our bodies are biologically in tune with. It didn't just come about accidentally. Allah Azza wa Jal created this. So the one who took care of our physical needs must also take care of our intellectual and spiritual needs. The one who takes care of the body must also take care of the soul. When Musa went to Fir'aun, and Musa challenged Fir'aun, Fir'aun said, I am God, I am telling you everything you need to know. Fir'aun said, who is your God? Musa said, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Surah Taha, verse 50. My Lord is the one who created every creation in perfection, and then he taught us guidance. Beautiful verse. My Lord is the one who created everything. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. He created everything in perfect harmony. And then, after creating everything, He didn't just leave us to be. He didn't just create us and disappear, vanish without a trace. On the contrary, He then provided us with guidance. ثُمَّ هَدَى. He told us how to live, why to live, what is the purpose of life, what will happen after death. This hidayah is what religion is all about. Brothers and sisters, my dear youth, science can only go so far in explaining life. I agree. Science has done amazing research and understanding down to the most minute issues of how life exists, how procreation occurs, how the cells function. Science can explain how, but science can never explain why. The why is beyond science. That is metaphysics. Physics tells you how. Metaphysics tells you why. Why is everything in such perfection and harmony? Why is our body so perfectly in sync? Why is the creation the way that it is? Science doesn't have any answers. We must have a higher purpose than mere existence. And that higher purpose will only come from religion. In fact, Allah challenges us. Did you think we would create you and then leave you alone? Did you think we would create you as a jest, as a joke, as a waste of time? Did man think we created him to waste our time? Allah says in another verse, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Did man think we would create him and then let him be without any further guidance? Of what use is a creator who doesn't tell you why you have been created? What type of creator is this? Allah is saying, did you think we would create you so perfectly, so harmoniously, and then let you be without telling you why you're here? أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. So the one who takes care of our physical needs will also take care of our spiritual needs. And this is where religion comes in. This is where guidance from Allah comes in. This is where revelation comes in. This is where prophecy comes in. Because it is true. It is true, Allah gifted us with intellect. Allah gifted us with mind. It is true, we are the most intelligent species on earth by leaps and bounds. There is no competition. No other species comes close to us when it comes to cognition and our cognitive faculties, when it comes to our understanding of the world, when it comes to even what is called metacognition. Metacognition is to know why you know and to know how you know. We can go not just 1D, 2D, and 3D. We can think about why we're thinking. We can think about how we are thinking. And even more amazingly, we can record our thoughts for posterity. We can write, we can speak, and other people can benefit from our knowledge. No other species can record its history, its language, its architecture, its philosophy, its poetry. No other species can do this. And of course, by the way, the Quran tells us this is a gift Allah has given us. This is a gift only we have been given. Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّ. Allah taught Adam how to speak. No other creation was taught. الرحمن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. علمه البيان. Allah taught man what it is to have eloquent speech. So it is true, we have higher intellect than any species on this earth. But our intellect alone is only going to take us so far. Our intellect alone will never be able to give us definitive answers. In order to get those definitive answers, we need to go beyond our own existence. We need to go to the creator of existence to tell us those definitive answers. Because here's the point, if all of us think that our minds can achieve ultimate truth, who is going to judge between all of our minds? Which mind is there that is going to judge between all of our other minds? In the end of the day, we are all human and all fallible. We need guidance from the infallible. We need guidance from the one who created us. And this is why the Quran tells us, the greatest human being who ever came, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the revelation began, he knew a lot. He did not worship idols. He was a righteous person. He did not drink. He did not womanize. He did not gamble. He knew many things by the intellect, by the purity of his heart. But he didn't know the details. He couldn't go beyond the generics. And that's why. And he would go to Ghari Hira and he would think and he would contemplate. But thought processes can only take you 10, 20, 30%, and that's it. You can never get to the 100% simply by thinking alone. And that's why Allah reminds him and through him all of us. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. We found you. You weren't upon guidance and we guided you. The one who is the most blessed human being, the most noble human being, the one who was sent as رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Without Allah's guidance, he didn't have hidayah. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Allah says in the Quran, in the end of Surah Ash-Shura, verse 52, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. This is how we have inspired you with revelation. This is why and how we have inspired you with revelation. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You had no idea what is the revelation and what is iman in Allah. You didn't know the details. Allah is negating the reality of iman from the one who was sent to guide us. He didn't have that before the coming of the Quran. Only after the coming of the Quran, only after the revelation, did he have that knowledge. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't know what was the kitab. You didn't know what was iman until جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا. We sent down the nur of the Quran into your heart. When that nur, when that hidayah, when that shifa comes down, then everything changes. Our knowledge can only go so far. Our knowledge is limited. And so we need religion and revelation. We need higher guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another reason why we need religion is that not only does religion answer the biggest questions of life, why are we here? Who created us? What is going to happen after death? These questions, what are called the metaphysical questions, as I said, science has nothing to do with them. Science has no experiment it can do about death and the meaning of death. How can it? How can you study a person after death? Science can't even judge the soul. It can't even prove the soul. All the scientific instruments on earth cannot even prove that there is a soul inside of our body. Science is materialistic. It is not metaphysical. So, yes, use science for its role, but religion is needed for that which is beyond science. Another reason why we need religion is not only to answer why we are here and what's going to happen after death, but also to answer other big questions. How should we live our lives? What is the best way to live? What is the reality of right and wrong, of virtue and of sin and of vice? The reality of ethics, of morality, it will only come when it is revealed from beyond, from above, from the one who created us. We ourselves can never arrive at the truth of at the reality of ethics and virtue. Why? Imagine a bunch of school children. Imagine a bunch of kids without any teacher, without any principal, without any system. And you tell the children, okay, you teach yourselves and you have your own exams and you grade yourselves. How can children do this? You need somebody who has gone through that stage and is now beyond that stage. So when it comes to ethics, when it comes to laws, when it comes to what is good, what is pure, what is impure, we human beings can never be fully objective. We're always going to be subjective. How can we judge ourselves? How can we judge the efficacy of an ethical virtue, of even a substance? Allah says in the Quran about alcohol. Allah says, khamr, wine. Allah says, there's some good in it. I'm telling you there's good in it. But the evil is more than the good. Now, how can we judge alcohol? If those who drink it, they love it, and they're going to say, oh, this is better. We love this intoxication more than any harm. Who's going to judge when human beings themselves are the doers and the actors? When human beings are the judge and the jury and the executioner? Humans cannot achieve ultimate ethical values amongst themselves. And that is why we need a higher power. Allah says in the Quran explicitly, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَلَوْ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. If truth, haqq, if ethical values, if virtue were subject to their devices, if truth were relative, if the haqq were up for a majority vote, then Allah says, all that is in the heavens and earth would go corrupt. Truth is beyond what the majority say. The majority can say something and the truth is not going to be affected by it. Who's going to tell us truth? Who's going to tell us right from wrong? Who's going to tell us pure from impure? Allah says in the Quran, it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ رَسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُومًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ. This Prophet has come to them, and he commands them to do good, and he forbids them to do evil. And he encourages them to embrace the pure, and he warns them from that which is impure. Notice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come, the Quran has come, the Sunnah has come to teach us alcohol is bad, khamr is bad, open zina is bad. How will we know this without the higher guidance from Allah? And this is what we see in the society around us. When truth becomes subject to popular vote, when truth becomes subject to our desires, then morality changes every 5-10 years. Morality constantly changes, and clearly morality is not something that should change. So another major benefit of religion, it teaches us truth from falsehood. There are many other benefits as well. Time is limited. I'm quickly going to list some of the benefits of religion. Of the benefits of religion and faith is that good faith promotes psychological sanity. Good faith gives you a solid ground to stand on. It gives meaning to your life. It motivates you to live beyond your physical existence, to live the best lives that you can. Faith and religion allows you to cope with the negativity, with the stress, with the grief, with the tensions of life. Faith provides us a community, a broader family than our biological family. Faith gives us history. Faith gives us identity. Religion gives us self-esteem. Religion is the greatest unifying force for righteous people because it transcends ethnicity, it transcends culture, it transcends the fake divisions of the nation state. Religion brings together all of diverse people in humanity under the banner of piety. The benefits of religion, my dear brothers and sisters, are too many to numerize. But to summarize in one simple sentence, religion and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really the only thing that makes life worth living. No other aspect will make life noble. No other belief, no other system will give actual meaning to your existence. Religion comes and tells you, you are not just a bunch of atomic particles randomly put together. You're not just an animal with the most basest of desires. No, you're not just an accident or a fluke in the cosmic history of the universe. No, religion comes and gives nobility and purpose and meaning to your very existence. Without religion, wallahi, me and you are nothing. It is with religion that we get the dignity and the nobility that comes with belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. Ask Allah's forgiveness, you as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the One and the Unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His aid that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He hears the prayer of the weak. As to what follows, dear Muslims, realize that Western society as a whole, prominent philosophers, scientists, prominent people that we look up to as a society, by and large, the default in our time and era, they have left religion and they criticize religion. But I want you to understand a fundamental point. Their criticism of religion should not be called a criticism of religion. It should be called a criticism of European Christianity. The fact of the matter is, if you listen to their criticisms, if you listen to the scientists and the philosophers of our times when they say religion does this and religion does that and religion does this, what they are talking about is their own experience, Europe's experience, the West's experience with the Catholic Church in the medieval ages. And they then extrapolate from that one trajectory of human history, they extrapolate and they pretend or they believe that all of religion is exactly the same. And this is wallahi an injustice of the highest magnitude. Again, much can be said. I want to give you three common examples, very prevalent in the discourse and of the criticism of religion. Number one, they say, religion is backward, and religion has kept, you know, society away from science, and religion is the cause of our being unlettered and illiterate and not advancing in the science. It's only when we gave up religion that we had enlightenment and post-enlightenment, that we discovered all that we discovered. And again, the most basic understanding of Islamic history will show this is not religion. This is the history of the Catholic Church with Europe. To extrapolate this and say religion does this, on the contrary, and again, I'm not sugarcoating, I'm not painting a romantic picture. The fact of the matter is we never had a problem with science and religion. We never had the clash of science and religion. Our golden age was when we had the greatest ulama and the greatest scientists together, hand in hand. We never had a Galileo or a Copernicus whom the church threatened with execution. We never had the ulama saying to the scientists, don't look at astronomy, don't look at chemistry, don't look at mathematics. No. So this is a weakness of the Catholic Church. This is a problem of the Middle Ages that they had to overcome. And then they think all of religion is backward. No, talk about your own experiences. Don't throw it and project it onto us. Another thing they're going to say is that, oh, religion is the source of so many wars, of so much discord, of so much division. Religion brings people to fight together and causes intolerance. And once again, it shows that they haven't studied beyond their own tradition and their own history. Yes, it is true. Wallahi, it is true. Their religion was the highest form of bigotry and intolerance. This country was founded by people who were Christians, but were being persecuted by another flavor of Christianity. They could not even tolerate different flavors. They were killing people, burning them alive, because they had a different belief about how is Jesus God. They would literally kill hundreds of people. What is European history of the 16th and 17th century? Every high school student knows this. Everybody who's done AP history knows this. What is European history except one religious war after another? But look at Islam. Look at our faith tradition. We didn't have anywhere near anything close, no equivalent. On the contrary, our religion preaches tolerance. You don't have to agree. Non-Muslims can live under our laws. And that is why many times in human history, when other societies had a civil war, a religious war, those minorities fled to Muslim lands because they could live under Islamic law. They could flourish in Islamic civilizations. Before the creation of the apartheid state in 1948, so many Jewish people who were persecuted in Europe, they fled to Muslim lands. This is why before 1948, the largest population of Jewish people was in Baghdad, in Tunisia, in Yemen. Why? Because Europe could not stand them. Europe was persecuting them, and they fled to Muslim lands, and they were allowed to flourish. The greatest minds of that tradition were actually born and raised in Muslim lands. Moses Maimonides, Musa ibn Maimun, Rambam, all of these great figures, they were from Muslim lands, spoke Arabic. So once again, don't tell us intolerance and bigotry and civil war and then say all religions. Say your own faith tradition. Don't throw it on us. And the last point we'll mention, and again, much more can be said. One of the main causes of people giving up religion, and unfortunately this is also true in our civilization as well, is because they have a bad experience with a person who is supposed to be a person of religion. So because of that experience, they say, oh, if this is what religion is, then I don't want to be a part of religion. Recently, the Catholic Church had a scandal of the priest, as you're aware. And many Catholics, they lost faith in this, like, oh, if this is the priest, then why should we be a believer in this faith tradition? In fact, the fact of the matter is that the Western trajectory of history is that they overthrew their religion because they couldn't stand the corruption of the medieval Catholic Church, the corruption of the popes, the corruption of the priests and clergy. They were just sick and tired of it. So the Protestant Reformation came about, and then the rest, as they say, is history. So their perception is, if religion were true, then you wouldn't have all of these people doing bad things in the name of religion. The response to this is actually very simple, brothers and sisters. In our faith tradition, in Islam, we don't have a pope. We don't have an ordained clergy. There is no body that says, this alim, this sheikh is speaking on behalf of God. No. Yes, the Catholics believe the Pope is infallible. That they have to deal with that. We don't. In our tradition, we separate the religion from the people. The religion is perfect, the people are not. The Quran is perfect, not every half of it is perfect. The Sunnah is perfect, not everybody who teaches the Sunnah is perfect. I am a human being, I have studied the religion, but I am imperfect, imperfect. If you see a fault in me, if you see a flaw in me, if you see a mistake in me, you need to be wise enough to separate my humanity from the religion. We do not have ordained clergy. We do not have an infallible pope. We do not have a person whom we believe is divinely guided and representative of religion on earth. No, anybody can become a sheikh and alim. Every one of you can become a sheikh and alim. And when you do, that doesn't change your humanity. Collectively, yes, the ulama are inheritors of the prophets, collectively. But no one alim, no one sheikh is speaking on behalf of the religion. If you come across one bad apple, one corrupt person, one sheikh who made a mistake, one person who did something wrong against you, you need to be mature and separate the religion from the humanity of the person who did this to you. Now, the Catholic Church could not do that because in their tradition, the Pope is speaking on behalf of God and the clergy is ordained. That is a problem they have. But once again, we as Muslims don't have that problem because we don't have such a figure. And for us, we have a very clear distinction. The perfection is with Allah and with the Sunnah of the Messenger. The Seerah is our perfect role model. Nobody who preaches the Seerah is a perfect role model. The Quran is the perfect book. Nobody who has memorized the book is perfect. So we teach our youth this. Separate the perfection. Separate the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ and the Seerah from the people who are preaching and teaching. From amongst the people who are preaching and teaching, you will find good, but you will also find bad. When you find the bad, overlook them, turn them away, and go to those that are good, and separate the religion from the people of the religion. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, the bulk of objections that our modern society has against religion, it is not against religion. It is against their version of religion, and it is in light of their history with religion. So, my dear young brothers and sisters, my dear youth, study, learn, ask, be inquisitive, ask the people of knowledge, and wallahi, you will come to the same conclusion. Without religion, without belief in God, without having a purpose in life, life becomes meaningless. It is religion that gives us nobility. It is religion that gives life meaning. It is religion that makes life worth living. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all of the great people of religion. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tada'a fi hadha al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta. ولا همّا إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.